Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we want to thank you for this evening. Your word is spirit and life. You are the bread of life. You were in the very beginning with God. And you are the word of God. Lord, speak to us. Let us hear from you. Let our spirits be fed with your word. Lord Jesus, in your name, all of us have prayed with thanksgiving. Amen. I often say that I was once a teacher, and I still remain a teacher. I would want us to go back to what we learned last week, a few of them. Can any of us tell us something he or she learned last week, something that has really encouraged you, something that you took home? Then we can build on what we've learned ever since. Can I hear any of you? I don't want to believe that none of you were here, were not here, and that you're all newcomers. Amen. I'm still waiting. What you learned last week, what you took home last week. Yes. With that lady over there, yes. What? The word of God. We should persevere with determination in our faith in God. Okay. It's true. It was uttered by the Holy Spirit. Yes.
It was authored by the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And we can depend on it.
Okay.
Holy, because it is the truth. And
it
we
is
should
the
hang
truth.
On to every word that is in the Bible.
Okay. You see, when you are saying these things, you have to back it with scripture. I said 2 Peter 1:21. The man moved by the Holy Spirit spoke. Isn't it? That's what I said. I saw a hand over there. Yeah, could you? I never saw you last week.
So it's Luke 1:37. For no word of God will ever fail.
Yeah, you have quoted it. No word from God
will ever fail.
It's from the 2011 translation of the NIV. Amen. I'm very detailed about some of these things because this is, you find some of them, those people with bags. You know them. Those with bags. They'll come to you and then say all manner of things. So let us be very detailed about some of the things we learn. Amen. Since all of us are disciples, we are not apostles, we are disciples, we are learning. Amen. Well, today, I want to shift a little bit. Enforcing the word of God. What did I say? Say it again. Some time ago, I shared a joke over here. A woman had gone to Achuan Mountains. She's been there for almost 4 weeks. And we had gone there. Normally, Methodists who are within the prayer circles go there from April, around this time. And after every session, there's a break. And normally, when there's a break with me, I won't go back to the camp to find something to eat. I go inside the area to find a very quiet place to sit and to meditate and to pray myself. I went to a particular place and I met a woman reading the Bible. I went there the second day, she was there reading the Bible. So the third time, I was a bit curious. So I went in and asked, always find me here reading the Bible. I wish I could read the Bible like you are doing. And she said something. I said, I've been here 40 days. I said, why 40 days? She said, three of my stores have been seized at Ashama. And that I'm here to pray. So I'm reading the Bible to see if God will help me. So you're reading the Bible to see if God can help you. And I looked at where she was reading. It was nowhere near her problem. She was just reading the Bible. Amen. So I said, okay, you put your Bible somewhere. We would pick, according to your problems, we'll pick some scriptures. And then based on the scriptures, pray. I did that with her for about 2-3 days. Then the third day, we had gone on recess. I met her come and said, hey, today you didn't go to your place. So I said, oh, my son has just rang me that all the stops, the keys that were seized and padlocked with different padlocks, have been given to my son. I've received my stores back, all of them. And that they are ready to even pay for the items that have gone bad in their shops. Well, so for how come I've been here 40 days and nothing has happened? You come just now and something has happened. I said, well, look here. You don't just read the Bible. You appropriate what is in there. Amen. Remember, the first thing I want to say is that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. We are in a real battle. A battle that will be over when we leave this earth. It will come in different forms. It might be not you yourself, but a sister, a brother, somebody in the office, somebody who is deliberately making sure that your faith is stretched. Amen. It will come in different shapes. But then when these things are happening, it is your attitude and your approach that will bring the results. Amen. You tell me yourself, somebody met me and said, yourself, I have prayed all kinds of prayers. I said, fine. I've attended all kinds of all-night meetings. Fine. But the just shall live by what? Faith. So, you can be praying. But sometimes when you listen to the things some people are saying in their prayer language, you'll be surprised the things they are saying. Amen. When you are there and you are asking, let's thank God. You, one of these days, I'll give the microphone to those who are praying. Instead of thanking God, they will begin coming out with a litany of their problems. God, you know I'm here, I'm this. He's forgotten about the problems that what they, maybe the liturgist was asking them to be doing. Because you are more concerned about our problems than what we should be giving to God. And I read another book, which a small portion said, when we are praying, a lot of angels do come around. But when they come around, those with their backs to collect their thanksgiving, they sometimes remain behind. But those who have the backs with petitions and supplications, they quickly leave. Because we are more focused on our petitions and our problems than thanking God and praising Him. Amen. But remember, we are in a battle. What did I say? Oh, who are in the battle? Who are in the battle? No, we. You. And the battlefield is everywhere. The enemy can fight you anywhere. He said something told him that. Not something. There's nothing like something. The Holy Spirit spoke to him. Told him. Amen. So you people should stop saying something. What something? What's the name of that something? The name of that something is called the Holy Spirit. You see, we have some wrong ideas about the Holy Spirit. It's only when the man of God comes here and he calls you and then you get slain in the Spirit that we know that the Holy Spirit is here. But I will say that the Holy Spirit is in the natural things of life, in everywhere you find him. Amen. The Bible even says that when you go to the deepest part of the sea, you will find him there. Amen. And we sing that when you lift up the stone, you find him there. Praise the Lord. You just be sensitive to him. You know that he's always around. But somebody will be sitting there and be saying, so why is it that bad things, wrong things happen to the Christians rather? And the unbelievers are walking around. Nothing is happening to them. You must know that you become a child of God, an enemy of the devil. And he will fight you tooth and nail. He will do everything possible to discourage you. I once asked God a question, but now, to me, it was a very silly question. My third child, she's a member of this church. I told God, why did you give me this daughter, this particular daughter? Initially, she was so difficult, extremely difficult. Then one day I was reading a book titled How to Control Difficult Children. I said, hey, so there are some children who are very what? Difficult. You can't get all of them behaving the way you want. But out of that girl has come something very, very good. So the first thing I want us to know, my word for today is coming from the NIV. It's in Psalm 119, verse 89. Can we go to Psalm 119, verse 89? Psalm 119, verse 89, the NIV. I like the translation of the NIV. Others will say, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in the heavens. But I like what the NIV is saying. What is it saying? Who has the NIV? Yes. No, we are not hearing you. Can somebody help me give the microphone to her? Your word. No, wait. Take your time. Thank you. Take your time to read it.
Okay. Your word, Lord, is eternal.
Your word, Lord, is what?
Eternal.
Eternal. Eternal. I'm interested in the word eternal. Eternal.
It stands firm in the heavens.
Amen. But I'm interested in that small word called eternal. The word of God is what? Eternal. Once I was listening to a song, and one line says, ancient words. La la la, la la la, la la la. Mm-hmm. Ancient words. Then I went to the dictionary and the concordance, which says the ancient of days. The ancient of what? And that is the name of God. His word is eternal. His word is ancient. And then John chapter 1 says in the very beginning was what? The word. It is ancient. It is what? Eternal. Before this earth and the planets and the galaxies and what we live in were created, God has always been there. Amen. And then it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was. So, the eternal word was with the ancient of days. And then fortunately for us, it says, and the word became flesh. And verse 14 says, and dwelt amongst us. And it says his name is Emmanuel, God with us. And in John, he's sometimes called, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He also says that thy word is what? Truth. So that if you get these premises clear in your head, you have a very solid foundation. Jesus refers something in Matthew chapter 7, 14 down there. That whoever believes in his word, his eternal word, the word which is ancient, the word which was there before creation, if you believe in him, it's like you've laid a very solid foundation on the rock. Storms might come. The sea might roll. Challenges, these days we'll say, will come. Some might even confront you. They will all come, but at the end of it all, you remain solid. Nothing will happen to you. So that if you have anything to rely and depend on, it must be the word of God. Amen. Let's go to Psalm 118, verses 114. 119, verse 114. You are my refuge and my shield. I have put my hope in your word. You don't put your hope in anything, but in the word of what? God. That's where you are. Amen. So that as a Christian, you should know that the lamp, this is your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my what? Path. It is also in Psalm 118. 119, 105 or so. It's there. Now, these could be words. But Solomon says, trust in the Lord with all your what? Your heart is not this heart that is beating you. No, your spirit, your inner man. That's that, who you are is the spirit in you. The real man is your spirit. Amen. So that what we have to do is to trust in him. They sing it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, isn't it? Trust in him. You have to absolutely trust in him without any question. I can illustrate it a little bit. I want to eat my breakfast. You tell your wife. Isn't it? Whether you put poison in it, you put whatever in it, it's breakfast. You come home, you remove your jacket. Where's my lunch or my supper? You go sit there and you eat. Without questioning it. Why? Because you trust your wife, isn't it? What even gave you access to her is that one day you went there when you were young, you were famished, and you told her, do you have any food around? So you wait. Give you some water and some soft drink. You took it. And before you could see, the aroma coming from the kitchen was just disturbing your saliva. You put the food down. The moment you finish eating it, you marked her. Your attitude changed completely. You have to trust God like sometimes you trust your wife. Well, I keep saying it. A woman can easily kill a man. Easily. No, no, wait, wait. Let me put it this way. Why did they say the way to a man's heart is through the stomach. They said it. I didn't say it. I'm quoting them. The way to a man's heart is through what? Madam, you can easily kill a man. You know what? There's an example in the Bible. Jail. You remember that story? That warrior was tired. And Jill gave her a place to what? Sleep. Forgetting that woman was a Jewish. And when he had slept, the Holy Spirit said, "You just knock here. Put this in here. Before he could say that, he was in heaven. Amen. If he had been a man, he wouldn't have gone there for no reason. So just as we trust our wives, you go to an office with a lady and they'll give the lady the chair first. Ladies what? First. Isn't it? When you say no to a man, look at the way sometimes we behave. We'll go every length to do what? Get you every length on this earth. All of you, all the women in this room are my witnesses. Hallelujah. And look at the way they display the things on the television. Some will go down on their knees and beg and say, "Kindly what? Marry me." A lady came to me and said, "Osofo, this gentleman have been working, ironing, doing all manner of things in my house. Then I met this lecturer who proposed to me and said he loved me, and I agreed. Then one day when the gentleman came to realize that the woman was married. So for all the things that I did for you, you didn't see anything." So, listen to what the woman said, "But you didn't see anything." Hallelujah. We didn't know what. Say anything. You always want to hear something, isn't it? That's it. And God says that whatever he says, we should trust him that he will do it. Hallelujah. He says, do this. You don't question it. You simply obey what God is what? Saying. Pure. Now, let's go to the Bible again. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 4, 20-22. Proverbs 4, 20-22. There's something over there. What is there? If you found it, I'm not interested in the translation or whatever. No. Can you begin from somewhere? Who is reading it? Wait. Be very patient. Like our brother says, learn to be patient a little bit. Okay. It's more.
Do not let them out of your sight.
No. Go back. It says, my son. Proverbs chapter 5, 22.
Chapter 4 or 5?
4.
Uh-huh.
My son.
Yes. My son, pay attention to what I say.
My son could be my daughter. Those who are gender sensitive, if you are not very careful, they will work out. So, my son stroke my daughter. Uh-huh. Go ahead.
Turn your ear to my words.
Okay. It says what? Pay attention to what I say. Pay attention. Okay. When God says anything, he says what? Pay attention. Don't just listen to it. Pay attention. Give some attention to what God has been what? Saying. Don't just read it for reading's sake. Some of us, we read the Bible hurriedly. We don't pay attention to what the Bible is telling us. We run through it like recitations. But it says, my son, pay what? Attention. What are other translations saying? Uh-huh. Be attentive, isn't it? What else? Can I hear any other way it is being said? Give attention. It's all the same. It says, so pay attention to what I do, what I say. So whatever God has for you, take your time. Give it all the attention that it requires. I'll use a woman again. If a woman says that come 4 o'clock and you come 3, you ask, why did you come 3? I said, come 4. Amen. That's the time they bluff us. Is that true? Don't come. If you come around this time, you don't come and meet me. So you have to find time to pay attention to what she's what saying. Or else, next time when you come, you don't come the time I give you. You won't come and meet me. Yes, sir. Yes, madam. I will do it. All of us have been doing that, so I know what I'm saying. Amen. So give the word of God all the necessary what? Attention. That's number one. Number two.
Do not let them out of your sight.
Do not let them out of your what?
Sight.
You see, I told you last week that when I met what is in the NIV 2011 of Luke chapter 1 verse 37. I went there several times. Several times. I forgot about everything. Went there several times because it was so good. The translation had given me another insight into what God was saying. So I went back. And then after it had gone in, I started stretching it. Then I went to Matthew chapter 4 verse. It says, man shall not live by what? But by what? Every word. I said, this thing. Then I went again. The psalmist is saying, my word, your word I've hidden what? In my heart. See, that am I not what? I stretched it. And remember, I had several other translations of the same thing, giving it some shades of what? Meaning. So it says that do not let it depart from your eyes. Keep looking at it. Keep looking at what? At it. It's like some men. I was reading about the biography of Mandela. When the first man got broken up, he was once passing through somewhere in Johannesburg. He saw that beautiful girl standing over there. So he went and then reversed. And then came back, and fortunately, he said, fortunately for him, the lady was standing there. So he slowed down and looked carefully at that lady. Carefully. He looked what? Carefully. Then he stopped, looked at the lady. Mandela's wife. What is her name?
Winnie.
Then he told Winnie that I will close from my chambers around this house. So every evening, come and stand there so that I can pick you to wherever you are going. See. Do not allow the word of God to get out of your what?
Sight.
Your sight. Because the Bible says we live by what? Sight, isn't it?
No.
Sight. Sight. So look at it. Then you take your mind off. And you look at it again. You take your mind off. And you look at it and it gets an imprint on your mind, isn't it? The moment you see a beautiful woman and you love the woman, the pictures won't depart from you. We had pictures, cameras some years ago before these ones came. It should be there. Keep looking at it. Then the third one says what?
Keep them within your heart.
Keep them within your what?
Your heart.
Your heart.
For they are life to those who find them.
No, you don't go too far. Keep them within your spirit. Let it dwell in your inner man. Amen. So that when you are woken up and they ask you, what is in John chapter 1? You should say it unconsciously. It should be in there. The reason is that anytime you are in trouble, the enemy will come with all kinds of thoughts. But if you've been transformed by the renewing of your mind with the word of God, the moment those things begin to come in, because you have them within your spirit, the spirit will automatically come out with something to meet what the enemy is what? Suggesting. Amen. You'll be building yourself, your inner man, with strength that will enable you to cope. So that listening, seeing, focusing, I'm using focusing as a modern language, on the word of God, allowing it to remain in your mind and making sure you hide it in your what? Your heart. You become strong. You really become what? Strong. Now let's go to Psalm 1. We are heading towards somewhere. So let's go to Psalm 1. What is in Psalm 1? Verses 1. Listen to me. I like the first line of verse 1. And then the whole of verse 2. And then verse 3.
Blessed is the one who does not walk in.
Blessed. I'm interested in the word what?
Blessed.
Now, blessed is the one, verse 2.
But whose delight is in the law of the Lord.
His delight is in the law. Those days it was the law of the Lord. But these days we replace the law with what? The word. Whose delight is in the word of what?
The Lord.
Then continue.
And who meditates on his law day and night?
Look here. Hold on. Who meditates on the word how many times?
Day and night.
Who, how many times?
Day and night.
So the day and night doesn't mean that when you see the sun, meditation. When you see darkness, meditation. It means that wherever you find yourself, the word of God should be on your mind. Amen. Paul says, pray without ceasing. It doesn't mean go and hide anywhere. But the moment you get some few moments of quietness, you are alone. Nobody's knocking on the door. Okay? You're not engaged. You snappy. Went to heaven, sharp. Because, listen, no. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, it says, let us go before the throne of grace with boldness. And when I looked at the translation of the word boldness, it means shamelessness. It also means that going to God free, there is no protocol. Nobody will prevent you from going before the throne of grace. After it is called the throne of what?
Grace.
Unmerited favor. You go there, it's grace. That throne is the only throne called grace. Amen. So, meditation doesn't mean go to maybe the Anglican. There's an Anglican place around Ashalbochwe. You know that place. It's a retreat center. It doesn't mean go there and sit down there and then be quiet. No. Anytime you have some quiet moment, at least let me put it this way. You pick one word during your quiet time. We all have different forms of quiet times, isn't it? But you pick something that really got your attention, like the Proverbs is saying, your attention. Then you can write it on a piece of paper. Okay? So every now and then when you are free, you pick it and look at it. I tell you, as you look at it, as you think about it, the Holy Spirit, who is the author of that particular verse, will begin to explain it to you. He will illumine your mind. And how does the illumination come? Something is in Ephesians 1, 16 and 17. It says, thanks be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given us the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Okay? The verse 18 says, Paul asks, open the eyes of my understanding. So that you go to God. This word you've written, that by his stripes I'm healed. Can you explain it to me? Can you illumine my mind? Can you open it up for me? He will definitely do it. Amen. Don't just recite it, but let it flow through your mind. Let it flow through your thinking. Begin to absorb it. Let it get in there, into your spirit, not your body. Sometimes your body will give you all kinds of things. Oh, it's not true. Don't forget about it. You're wasting your time. It says, blessed is the man who meditates on the word of God day and what?
Night.
Then what does it say again?
That person is like a tree planted by streams of water,
uh-huh,
which yields its fruit in season,
uh-huh,
and whose leaf does not wither.
Uh-huh.
Whatever they do prospers.
Whatever they do what?
Prospers.
You see, as you meditate on the word of God, day in, what? Day out. You be like a tree planted beside streams of what? Waters. In the dry season, you prosper. When they are saying everything is wrong, yours will be what? Right. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You tell the enemy, this is what God is saying. Amen. My God shall supply all my needs. You go to Genesis, and when Isaac asks the father, "This is the wood. This is the firewood. This is the firewood. This is the fire. Where's the animal?" The Holy Spirit spoke through Abraham and said, "The Lord will what? Provide." So when your mind is telling you, as for your mind, it can play all kinds of tricks on you. All kinds of what? Tricks. It can put apprehension, fear. Hey, you are going to die. Hey, they are going to arrest you. Your business is going to... They will say all manner of things. You are aging. By the age 35, you see, nobody... But tell the enemy, "My God shall supply all my needs." It is there. His name is Jehovah Jireh. His name is El Shaddai. God who is our what? Sufficiency. You know what? I love the word of God. I know it is simply what? True. So I'll find every possible means to get it in here. I'll make sure it sticks. So let's find time to be doing these things. I don't come here with my Bible. Do I come here with my Bible? No. You tell yourself you are different. The same Holy Spirit. You tell yourself, "Oh, yours is a gift." The same gift. The one who gave me the gift, he can also give you the same gift. Yeah. Hallelujah. But we fear to. I say, meditate on the word of God day and what? Yeah. The same thing somewhere in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. Let's go to Joshua. I referred to that last week, but I'm explaining it today. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. You see, but the strange thing is that when others are writing, others too are listening. You listen and write. Amen. Joshua chapter 1.
Joshua 1:8.
Uh-huh.
"Keep this book of the law of the word of God always on your lips."
Always on your what?
Lips.
The first one is meditation. This one on your what? It means that keep on saying what God is what? Saying. It is the word of God. Keep on saying what the Holy Spirit is what? Saying. Let it be on your lips. Yeah. Just like sometimes with slander. "Hey! Ole sani neighbor." Ha, this is my gun. The way you approach the thing, "Hey, sani, baba o kakadan." Praise the Lord. Let's love so that the heart will be strong. Amen. Before you do the introduction, you might have said so many good things about what you're going to say. But it says, we should keep the word of God on our what? Lips. Keep saying it. Keep saying what God has been saying. Eh? Sometimes we say, "As for this one, I'm saying, I swear God, what I'm saying is what? Is true. I swear God, the word of God is what? True. What you're saying is true." Okay, go ahead.
"Meditate on it day and
you
night."
You see, meditation has come. Meditation means that it's not the yoga type. It's not the what? Let it flow to your mind. Listen to what God is saying. Be thinking about what God is saying. Amen. And remember, the author and the finisher of the word of God is what? The Holy Spirit. And as you meditate on it, as you think about it, as you brood over it, as you mutter, let it flow through your lips. Soon, some revelation will come. Some inspiration will what? Will come. Personally for you and nobody else. Personally for what? And nobody else. Someone might have read what I read in Luke chapter 1 verse 37 from the NIV. But the way it flew out of the Bible and hit me. So, wow. I like this. I love it. I will eat it. No word from God will ever what? Fail. I went to the Amplified Bible and it was saying it differently. But the same thing. So meditate on it. Let it flow through your lips. And as you do so, I like how the King James renders it. Who has got the King James version of the Bible with us? This one, it will say success. But the King James says it differently. Then you'll be what? Prosperous. And then you have good success. You'll be prosperous. That is number one. Number two, you'll be what? successful. So don't depend on anything. You can absolutely rely on the word of God. That should be enough for you. Don't go anywhere. Don't add anything to it. Stay in there and see what the Lord will do. If you need prosperity, go to the word of God. After all, the Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18. Can we go to Deuteronomy 8, 18? You talk about success and prosperity. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18. He says, remember the Lord your God. It is he who gives you power, the ability to get what? Wealth. Wealth. Wealth is wealth. No other translation but what? Wealth. I've looked at the word wealth. It is wealth. Amen. I looked at it and he says it is what? Wealth. If you add anything, you go wrong. You see, you remember when we went to Cedro? Those of us who went to Cedro. Remember a young man said he went for Sakawa. And when he met Jesus, everything vanished. The devil will give you success, fine. But very soon you pay dearly for what you've gone in for. So if I were you, I would go back to Jesus. I would stick to the word of God. Because wealth only comes from God. Again, wealth. Let's go to Proverbs 10:22. Proverbs 10:22. What is there? It is in you, but let them hear it.
The blessing of the Lord makes rich, and he adds no sorrow
he
to it.
He adds no sorrow. No conditions. No what? So you go, I will give you this, but you have to also what? Do this. Don't sleep with your wife on Wednesdays. Praise the Lord. You know some churches do that. When you are fasting, don't do this. When you are Sebio service, I will use the word Sebio. We don't have Sebio in English. No, excuse me to say it's different. Madam, excuse me to say it's different. Sebio is Sebio. The meaning is deeper than excuse me to say. Sebio, if a woman has gone behind there, you understand me? Don't eat her food. Don't do this. Some churches. Some of these churches do that. But the Bible didn't say anything. It says he added no sorrow with it. No conditions. It is his blessings that makes a man what? Rich. He will bless you. David says something in Psalm 37, 25 and 26. He says, I've been young and what? Old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging. Then the verse 26 says, the children of the righteous are a blessing. It didn't say they are blessed. They are rather what? A blessing. God will bless you such that you also become what? A blessing. So he says that if you meditate on his word, you rely on it, you mutter, you let it flow through your lips, day in and what? Day out. Then you will prosper. Amen. Don't take your condition now as what God... You don't know what God is going to do tomorrow for you. I've sat on a bicycle before. Have you walked before? We went for a crusade with a fellow minister, a senior colleague. He had two cars. And I had my family. My family was then young. I asked him for one of his cars. He said, no. Come to me at the head office. There's an oven bus. I have a Kia truck. I came in here in a Hilux. Amen. I never dreamt the one day I would sit at the head office as even a director. I never dreamt. If I was to, I wouldn't have believed. But look at me. My father, Reverend Paul Edu, went to the north, went for 42 years. And when he retired, they gave him 102 CDs. Yes, 102. He sent the Methodist Church to the north when the lions and the jackals were there. He even told me that when I was born, They had an accident at the Mole Game Reserve. My mother had gone unconscious. My father had had a deep cut over here. It was a white man who, and they left me behind with blood all over the place. And lions with blood, they will easily get attracted. After several hours, my mother woke up, and the first question he asked her, where was his son? I said, hey, you have a son in the Mole Dam, in that accident car. They came and had been wrapped with the cloth under the steer. Look at me standing over here. Are you getting me? Do you know what God is going to do with your life? So don't look at your current condition and say, all is lost. All is not what? Lost. God is in control. You just listen to him. Abide by his word. Follow him. Stay closer to him. One of these days, he's going to shift and change and make sure your heart's desire. After all, Psalm 37 verse 4 says, take delight in the Lord and he'll grant you what? He's used the word desire. Isn't it? I keep saying it. I never attended Vantipim. That was my school. 1971, that was the school I chose. But they said they bluffed me. But Vantipim is in my heart. Desire is what? Desire. Take delight in him. Meditate on his word. Focus on his word. And one of these days, God will grant you the desire of your what? Your heart. He didn't say your heart, this heart, your inner man. You're a real person. God will do it. How he's going to do it, let us leave it with him. Amen. Now let's go to the Bible and see some examples of how men of God, follow the word of God and remain there. The first person I'll pick is Esther. Remember Esther? Haman had determined to exterminate, to kill all the Jews. He had even prepared a gallows for him, for them. And in all the districts and the regions, several of them. But see, look at God. God chose Mordecai to hear what was going on and came and informed Esther. Esther, you sit here. Do you know why God pushed you here? I'm telling you, there's a reason for which you are still alive. Amen. They knew what fasting and prayer was all about. Or else he wouldn't apply it. He told Mordecai, go and tell them that they should fast and pray. But I will fast and pray for 3 days without food and what? Don't go beyond 4 days, 5 days, 7 days, 6 days, 7 days without food and what? Water. Take a little bit of the food and a lot of water. Amen. And because they applied that, they prayed and fasted. The one who set a trap had a trap taking him on. Hallelujah. He set a trap for himself. He thought he had set a trap for the Jews. But God used the trap. That same trap. That same person who is worrying you in that office. That same guy who is disturbing you, those people who are saying that it will be well with you, very soon, let the righteous say, shall be what? Shall be well. All things work together for good to them that what? That love God. Don't worry your head over them. God will fight your battle for you. You apply the word of God. Apply it. Appropriate it. In the long run, the king stretched his staff or whatever against the law. And Esther went, and victory came. Hallelujah. I keep saying it. A certain lady who had attended Wesley Girls High School said, Sofu, yeah, all that you are saying is true, but the agony of waiting. See, the agony of what? Waiting, Sofu. 2 years, 2 years, 3 years. The man told Jesus, I've been here for 38 years. Isn't it? You think the 38 years was written for nothing? It's not meant for him. It was meant for you. 38 years. He had been waiting and what? Waiting. Watching and what? Waiting and looking inside the water. The one day someone will pick him. And the one who did the ruffling of the water walked out of the water and came to him. Said, my brother, get up. Very soon, victory will come your way. Hallelujah. All that you have to do is to wait and be patient. Amen. Then there's another one. You remember Hannah? Someone was taunting and jeering and saying all manner of things to Hannah. And listen to me, they say every year they went there. So every year she would go. She would go and do exactly what he had done that was written. He went there. And even Eli thought he had taken in some alcohol. Eli, the high priest, thought there was something wrong with the lady. Obi ebewo, etichi obi aso. But she was determined. She persevered with determination. She knew one day God will listen to her, so she never gave up. She forsook the drinking and the merrymaking and everything, went there alone. Sometimes you have to be alone. You have to go out and tell God, forget about what your husband has been doing. Let him go to the office. Then go into your room. Then pick one of his shirts and lay your hands. Father, this is his shirt. Let it be a point of contact. And then say the rest. You know what is going on in the house. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Don't fight him. If you fight him, you win the battle. Leave the matter in God's hands. And God will do the battle for what? For you. Last week we learned that he says that he will contend with those who what? Will contend with you. Hannah decided to allow God to contend. And you do know what? I read it. God is a humorous God. When Hannah gave birth to the first child and sent the boy to Eli, I want to believe that the woman said, you, barren woman like you, you now have a child. You are the only one. I'm talking like a Ghanaian would talk. You are the only one who has a child who knows God. You sent my children. When you had one, you sent the child to what? To God's house. Fine, we shall see. Hello. And she kept going to the house of God. She kept going there. She kept going there. And then very soon, the two girls came. And then the three boys what? Came. And strangely enough, listen to what about. And Elkanah will go to Shiloh with his wife, Hannah. See, Yangupong. The other one has been relegated to somewhere. Praise the Lord. Keep on praying. Keep on hitting hard. Keep on believing God that with him everything is what? Possible. Very soon, you'll be in the forefront. The last shall be what? First. Very soon. Very, very soon. I was passing by and I greeted you. You'll be sitting in that same office. I'm talking to somebody over here. Hallelujah. That same person who was taunting and jeering you. Oh, I came to visit this and I'm passing by. You pass by. When you close the door, say, hallelujah. God is good. Very soon, what I'm saying shall come to what? Pass. God will cause you to laugh. Let's go to the three boys in Daniel chapter 3, 16 to 18. Can we hear it? Daniel chapter 3. 16 to 18. Daniel chapter 3. 16 to 18. I want it to be read to us. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, listen to their faith. Listen to the what? They knew the fire was blazing. They saw it. They knew they were going to die. They saw it. Not that the fire was some hundreds of miles away. No! They saw it with their eyes. And listen to what they told the king. And answered and said to the king, Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. Verse 17. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. That was their word of faith. They knew God was going to deliver them. In spite of the burning what? Furnace. And the thing had been heated 7 times. I don't know how they heated it 7 times. It was burning fiercely. Sometimes the battle could be very what? Fierce. The things you hear will just discourage you. But stand firm. Don't give up. Hallelujah. The matter will burn seven times. Don't give up. Then verse 18. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Up again. They said they won't what? They won't serve. They won't budge. They won't give in. They took an uncompromising stand. Come what may, we're never going to give up. You can burn us alive. We won't what? Even if God does not save us, we won't bow. Hallelujah. The person can be walking around and coming to your office and greeting you as if to taunt you. Don't mind. One of these days, you knock and ask, can I come in? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The one who was standing, who come and beg, can I come in? Amen. I will give you mine. Master Mother has taken all their kids out there to Oklahoma. I helped them to go there. I used my good offices to write and to do things, to consult ministers here and there. When they were going, so, brah, when we go there, we'll do this, we'll do. When you even promised me four-wheel drive Ford. Yeah, Kofi, be very careful the things you are saying. Quite recently, my stepmother called, I think last Saturday. Wagu, your brother Kofi says he's so much ashamed. This, and that. He's pleading with the man to ask me to forgive him for this. I told the mom, I'm just who I am. The fact that he hasn't fulfilled his promise doesn't mean I should change. My relationship with him is based on the fact that my father's blood is flowing through his veins, and that is enough for me. My relationship with him is not based on the fact that he promised this and his promise, but as for God, he won't do that. Hallelujah. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. To an end, there are new every morning. Great is thy faith. For now, O Lord. I just want to motivate you, to let you know that sometimes the battle will be really tough, like Shadrach and Abednego went through. Very tough. Like Daniel was told not to pray, and he said he will pray. They threw him into the lion's den, and God turned the lions into high density condensed bed. He slept soundly. And the king who threw him there couldn't sleep. Hallelujah. When he opened it, they said, Daniel, I know your God will what? Will save you. God will save you. Are you hearing me? God will see you through. He says, when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, what next? That is enough. For he is what? With us. Do not be dismayed if I'm their God. Amen. The challenges will come. Who said we won't go through challenges? They will definitely what? As I speak to you now, I'm looking at your face. You're going through some real challenge, very tough one. I'm talking to someone over here, and you are looking at me. You are saying to yourself, you don't know what is happening to me. Ole no kunuku no kunuku. Hallelujah. So today my anointing for God is coming on. Praise the Lord. You are going through some real tough times. But let me assure you, very soon it will be over. He says, heaven and earth shall what? Pass away. But his word will remain what? You see, but you see, we should be toughened enough to believe that what God has said, he will what? He will fulfill. The last one is in Luke chapter 24 verse 49. God said in the NIV that he will clothe us with power. There's a post-resurrection promise of Jesus. Then in Acts chapter 1, 12 to 14, they stood on the word of God. They told themselves, okay, if Jesus says we will clothe with power from on high, we'll go and wait. He didn't tell them exactly when the power was going to come. No idea as to when, but once he has spoken, like Peter said, Lord, we've toiled all night. We've had nothing, virtually what? Nothing. But at thy word, we'll launch out into the deep. It's in Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 5, 1 to 8. Mary said, well, what we've been drinking is finished. They went to her. But she said, whatever my son says, you do it. Don't question it. What he said was out of place. Midnight, where were they going to get light to even go for the water? Even now, in the doom, so how are we going to get water? Praise the Lord. And yet, they went. And yet, they waited. And on Pentecost Day, in Acts chapter 2, the promise was what? Fulfilled. So, my sister, don't just read the word of God. Don't just listen to what God is saying. Take those bold steps of what? Faith. In giving, do the same. If he says by his stripes you are healed, do you just believe what Jesus is what? Saying. If he says that he wears the keys of David, when he opens, nobody can what? It's in Revelation 3:7. He will open it, by all means. He will what? Open it. But finally, there's something in King James of the Bible, the King James of Mark, Mark chapter 11, 23. The King James. Mark chapter 3, verse 27. Mark chapter 11, verse 23. I like what the King James is saying. Finally, the King James says what? In Mark 11, 23. It says, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. You know where your heart is. Shall not what? Our problem is doubt. Listen, I've read it several times. Will God do it? God knows that I have a problem. Will he do it? But shall believe that, shall what? Believe. Shall what? Shall what? In Mark 9:23 says, if only you can believe, all things are possible to them that what? Believe. Shall believe, shall believe. Say, shall believe. That those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. He shall have, he saith. Say it again. Don't use you. Don't use he. Use yourself. I shall have. So you can pick one. By his stripes, you shall have whatsoever you are saying. By his stripes, then you can go further to say that by his stripes, my hernia is gone. Praise the Lord. By his stripes, my something is what? Somebody says, Sofu, this thing has been with you all this while. You are saying what? I'm not saying it. He says, you shall have whatsoever you see. You shall have whatsoever you see. So you say it. He says, say. And say it with faith. Hello. I remember that was the last thing I would say. I was then teaching at Sojo Sukana School. And it was the 31st of the month. We've woken up, and the first question after we prayed, the first question my wife asked was, when are you going to get paid? And if you're a man, and the month has ended, and your wife is asking you, when are you going to get what? Paid. At that time, we had just two kids. Do you know what I said? The Lord says, you'll never leave me, nor what? He looked at my face. I dressed and I left. Suddenly, a friend called me. Kwagu, it has been a while. Can you come to my office? I went there. So this problem that I said, you don't know what my wife has asked. You are worrying me with this. Praise the Lord. I finished praying. Then he removed his drawer. The moment he removed his drawer, I heaved a sigh of relief. I knew God was never going to forsake me, you know what. Then suddenly, he was counting bundles of what? CDs. So I didn't go straight to, I wasn't teaching a Sunday school. I didn't go straight. And when I went to her shop, I said, Nanku Skula. I said, you sit down. You're going to go to the market and prepare me some very good light soup. But you haven't gone to school and they haven't paid you. I said, you sit down. Take this money and go and prepare. I gave her all that was given to me. Do you know the question she asked me? Nekafan wahi. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The devil can put you in a tight corner, but God can get you out. Hallelujah. Another one. Where then in Wenchi? There, it was national service. For almost 3 years, they would not give me a salary. Then we had just arrived at Wenchi, and virtually no money. The church knew I was going to do national service, so they were not ready to give me any allowance. And the school knew I was doing national service, so they also were not willing to give me anything. And at that time, I had 11 of them. My father had brought me one brother. A fellow minister had brought me three of his children. Another woman's foolish woman had brought her son, dumped the boy there, and then left. No money. So I woke up one morning and said, those of my minister, Osofu, we are left with two cities. There's nothing in here. I didn't mind her. That went for the morning devotion. And I saw it was one of the class meetings. It was not the main church. Well, it was a society, I'll put it that way. Then I saw one of the leaders at the main church come in. I told myself, this man is going to give me some job. He doesn't know I don't have money in my home. He's coming to disturb me. Then after we finish, he said, Osofo, come, I have some news for you. I said, I thought as much. Then he put his hand in his pocket and he removed a very fat brown envelope. Then I asked him, what is this brown envelope for? He said, Osofo, ever since you arrived, we haven't come to give you any brisou. When she is noted for yams and those things, we haven't brought you some. So at the last leaders' meeting, they decided that instead of bringing you yams and so, we've heard you have a very large family. They are not paying you. So take this brown envelope. I looked in several, those days, that is 1990, two cities, it was some big money, a lot of them. And my bungalow was picked up on a hill. The way I ran from the valley to the top. I went and she was still sleeping. So I opened the envelope and splashed on her the money. And she asked the same question. I want to assure you, God will never leave you nor forsake you. Let's bow our heads in prayer. When we walk with the Lord, in the light, what a glory he sheds on our way. Whilst we do his good will, he abides with us still. And with all who will trust and obey, trust and for there's no other way Jesus. I would want you to pick one promise of God concerning your particular need and then Last week we reminded ourselves that God says we should put him into remembrance. Remind God of his promise and stand there. Don't move. Don't go left. Don't go right. And I've told you, he says we should come before his throne of grace to obtain mercy and to find grace. I want you to believe in this God. I want you to trust in this God. I want you to stand firm. Your foundation is laid on that eternal word, the word which was there before creation, the word which you can depend on. I want you to do that. I want you to pray. That's the only prayer we're going to offer to God. I want you to believe God. I want you to trust in the Lord with all your heart, in spite of all that is happening. It appears to be very difficult. The wind is very, very strong. The wind that is blowing in your life. But I want you to believe in this God. I want you to trust in him. I want you to pray. Pick a word. He says if we should abide in him, and his words abide in us. When we ask of anything, Jesus said it. The Holy Spirit wrote it. Jesus will often say, the words that I say are not from me, but from the Father. God has spoken to you this evening. He says, we shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from him. His word is forever settled in the heavens. His word is truth. And Jesus said, he is the truth. His kingdom is truth. When he met Mary Magdalene, he said, I'm going to my father and your father. The father who listened to him was going to go to him. And God is also our father. Just as Jesus was begotten through his blood, we have also become the begotten children of God. Joined hands with Jesus. We are the sons and daughters of God. Just as he listened to his son, he will also listen to us because of what he's done for us. I want you to believe in him. There might be some challenges out there. But build your faith. Build a strong foundation. It might not necessarily be you. It might be somebody else. But I want you to pray. Your mind is telling you don't, because you've prayed several times. Go back to him again and again. Jesus himself said men ought to always pray and not to give up, not to faint. You might have been disappointed before. Maybe even this week, a door should have opened for you and it has been slammed on you. Once he has spoken, twice we've heard that power belongs to him. He has enough power to do the unthinkable. Se wo fa nasem, se wo nantu nasemwa, se obrano nemu yedin na wenida. Obey Irade beye, Irade beye, Manesi. Se wo fa nasem, se wo nantu nasemwa, se obrano nemu yedin na wenida. Obey. Radi Baya Mi wo nyamia Onsa Rabesi sa wo fa nasem Se obrano ni mu yedin Obeye Erade beyo Erade beya Mi wo beri ma bia Nidi di Jesus Awesome bo Ame se me wa bere me bia Nidi Jesus He is the word He is the word Enuti me bo Nidi Aman senyina Miwa beri me bia Maybe you might be going through some challenges, some difficulties, which might appear very insurmountable. Whatever it might be, just lift up your right hand if there is something like that. You need divine intervention. You need God to come in. And if I were you, I would have lifted up my right hand, whether I have it or not. Just lift up your right hand. Can we all intercede for ourselves, asking the Holy Spirit, who is a very present help, to come in? I don't know how he's going to do it, but he will. He will. He will definitely do it. He will. Can we all lift up our voices and pray? Can we lift up our voices and pray? I want to hear you pray. I want to hear you pray. The Lord should come in. Just as he interceded in the days of Moses and Hur on the mountain when Joshua was fighting down there, we are asking him to do the same. When Jacob told the Lord, "If you do not bless me, I will let you go." Tonight, let us pray. The Lord should come in. He knows very well exactly what is going on in your life. He knows that there is a need for that divine intervention. But if we do not pray, he can't do anything about it. Let us sing this song prayerfully. I often sing it. Pass me not, O gentle Savior, yeah. And while others thou art called, do. Savior, like Bartimaeus shouted, my heart, like Bartimaeus shouted, and while others thou art called, tell him he shouldn't pass you by. My Savior, that should be your cry tonight. Savior, yeah, we are praying. And while others thou art called, if there is anyone sick amongst us, just lay your hands on where the disease is. I want to assure you, the Holy Spirit wrote what I'm going to say. He says in Matthew 8:17 that he took away our infirmities and he bore our sicknesses. His word is eternal. He says, by his stripes we are healed. He says he will take the disease out of us. He says he will heal us because he is the Lord who heals. But first and foremost, let us intercede for those who are not here, but of which we know are sick. Psalm 107:20 says, you just put your hand there. Don't remove it. But let's intercede first for all those we know who are sick. Psalm 107:20 says, he sent forth his word, and the sick was healed. That person might not be here, but a member of the Anaviosi, a member of this church, a cousin, a friend, a relative, a person is not here, a son, a daughter, a sister's son. Let us pray. Just use one of the things I've said. He's the Lord who heals. He says, I won't die, but I'll live. He's in Psalm 118, verse 17. Let us believe that they won't die, they will live, they will survive. Now put your hand where the disease is, and I will pray with you. Father, you are here. You said, wherever two or three are gathered in your name, you are there. And nobody can even see you and live. Moses saw your back, but we saw you in Jesus. He went about doing good and healing all those who were sick and were oppressed by the devil. Lord, one of us is sick, sitting amongst the congregation. In Acts chapter 4, 24 to 31, the apostles prayed that you stretch forth your healing arm and heal the sick. And if there's anyone who is sick amongst us, Father, stretch forth your healing arm and take the disease out. And let a person leave this room healed. That is your word. Your word is eternal. Your word is forever settled in the heavens. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but your word will remain the same. You are the Ancient of Days. Tonight, Lord, we are before your throne of grace to obtain mercy and to find grace. Thank you. We don't know how you heal, but thank you, God, for confirming your word that you've heard us. We want to commit the rest of the week into your hands. We are committing our siblings, our loved ones, those who are so close and those who are so far, those we love, those we don't even know. Father, you are everywhere at the same time. You are omnipresent. Stretch forth your hand and touch the sick amongst us. And I bind any demon behind any disease in this room. And Lord, I command in the name of Jesus. Your word says that we have resurrection power. Your word says that if the spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us, then you give life to our mortal bodies. So, Father, let your spirit give life to the mortal bodies sitting over here. Heal them. Father, heal them. Father, heal them. In the name of Jesus. Father, heal them. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for answered prayer. Father, we want to commit the night into your hands. Be with us in our sleep. Keep on reminding us that your word is eternal. And so we can depend on it. Lord Jesus, in your precious name, we've all prayed with thanksgiving. Amen.